Good to be back with you this morning. Remember last week we were able to visit family up in Atlanta. This week we will continue our study in Romans chapter 8. And of all the chapters as we've gone through the Bible, there's none that start any stronger than this chapter. Chapter 8, verse 1, when Paul said there's no condemnation for those in Christ. No guilt. No accusations can be brought. But when we look at that, do we sometimes lose sight on the importance of how we live? James tells us that faith without works is dead. Paul tells us that we're saved by our faith. Now, are they saying the same thing, or do we take one and not the other? I think if you read with me a few verses here in chapter 8 of Romans, you see that Paul and James are saying exactly the same thing. That we're saved by faith, but that doesn't mean that we're free to live any way we want to live. Sin is not trivial. You may have heard that the word sin simply means missing the mark, like an archer that shoots an arrow and misses the center of the target. But I think that sometimes gives us a little bit of a wrong impression, because when we look at it that way, then we always feel like, well, there's more that we can do, and we end up playing a guilt trip because we're not ever quite good enough as we should be. Sin is breaking God's laws. There was a movie years ago called Double Jeopardy. And the movie is about a woman that's accused of murdering her husband. And she's convicted of the crime and goes to prison and basically pays the price of the prison of the crime. She gets out of prison and finds out their husband's still alive. So now she said, well, I can go off and murder him now. I've already been convicted. I've already paid the price for this sin. So I'm free to murder my husband and go scot-free. Now that's just a movie. But I wonder if sometimes we look at sin that way. If Christ paid the price for our sins, does that mean it's okay to do whatever we want to do? Has the price already been paid for my sin? Sometimes I've heard people say, well, I can do this. I know it's a sin, but I can repent of it and I'll be forgiven later on. What's wrong with that attitude? There's another attitude that goes along with that, and it's sort of this idea that, well, I'm a Christian, but I sin every day. Christians sin every day, but it's okay because we're forgiven. But there's wrong with that attitude too, because that sort of makes any little thing we do sin, and so we make trivial things to be sin, and we trivialize sin itself. Trivial things are not sin. Sin is not trivial. And when we start giving that impression that just every little thing that I want to call sin is sin, then what we might call a real sin comes, oh, that's okay to do that, because I sin every day, all sins the same, so does it matter how I live? But look with me at Romans chapter 8. And just look at a few verses with me. In Romans chapter 8, verse 9, we read, you, however, are not in the flesh, that is, controlled by the sinful nature, but in the Spirit, that is, controlled by the Spirit. If, in fact, the Spirit of God dwells in you, anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to Him. Well, how do we know that we have the Spirit? How do we know that the Spirit of Christ or the Spirit of God dwells in us? Well, Paul says it. How do we live? Are we controlled by the flesh, or that is, just our own wants and desires, or are we controlled by His Spirit? Do we live the way that Jesus lived? Paul says you can tell very quickly if you're living a spiritual life by how you live. Don't ask, is the Spirit in me? We know we receive the Holy Spirit when we're baptized. We receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And we go through these verses, we know the Spirit lives within us and helps us and brings us along, so to speak. How do we know we have the Spirit? By how we live. Are you controlled by the flesh or the sinful desires of this world? Or are you controlled by the Spirit? Being controlled by the Spirit brings up a one of those little words that sometimes we don't like to talk much about. Self-control. It means having discipline, learning to say no to ourselves and no to just the desires that we have. We all have worldly desires and we're all tempted by things in this world. Do we control those? Do we have discipline in our lives? Peter tells us in 1 Peter that we're to add self-control to our life. Paul calls it one of the fruits of the Spirit. In Acts chapter 24, Paul goes before Felix, the Roman governor. Now Felix is, like any Roman governor, he's very much a politician. And as a Roman politician, he's probably as unethical and with as very little morals as anybody you want to think about. And so when Paul lays a defense of his gospel, listen what he says. In Acts 24, beginning in verse 24, after some days, Felix came with his wife Drusilla, who was Jewish, and he sent for Paul and heard him speak about faith in Christ Jesus. Now listen to what Paul tells him. And he reasoned about righteousness and self-control and the coming judgment. Righteousness, basically living right. Self-control, having discipline in your life. And the coming judgment that you will have to give an account. Proverbs 25, we've been over studying Proverbs some on Wednesday nights. Listen to Proverbs 25, verse 28. A man without self-control is like a city broken into and left without walls. In olden times, you had to put a wall around a city to keep bandits out. Or else you'd have these roving band of bandits that come in and steal from you. Proverbs tells us our lives are like that if we have no self-control. If we have no self-control, we're defenseless. Any little want, any little desire can take us away. We must have self-control. In Matthew chapter 27, on the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus says there's two ways you can live your life. And really, this goes through the whole scriptures, the idea that you have to choose which way you want to live. Jesus says there's one way that's a broad, easy way. And that way leads to destruction. It's the way of the world. It's easy to do that. It's a broad way. But he says there's a narrow road. And the narrow road is harder to do. But it leads to life. But choose which path you're going to have. What do we mean by sin? Sin, in essence, is breaking God's will or God's law. And it's always against God. It's not against anyone else. Someone says, "Oh, it's okay to do this. Nobody will ever know." Sin is against God. In Psalm 51 and verse 4 is one of the great Psalms. 51 is one of the great psalms of David. David had committed what we might call really big sins, any way you want to judge him. He commits adultery with Bathsheba, and she becomes pregnant with his child. And so he murders Uriah, Bathsheba's husband, to cover it up. Murder, adultery, cover up, lying, it's all there for David. But in Psalm 51 and verse 4, David says, "Against you, O God, and only against you have I sinned." In Genesis 39, we have the story of Joseph. Most of us know the story of Joseph. He was the 11th son out of 12 of Jacob, and being one of the last sons and born by Rachel. His father doted on him, so his brothers became jealous, and they send him, or actually sell him into slavery. And he becomes a slave in Egypt. And in Egypt, he works in Potiphar's. He's sold to Potiphar, and he works in Potiphar's house. And notice what's said in verse chapter 39, verses 6 through 9 in Genesis. Now Joseph was handsome in form and appearance. Joseph was a good-looking young man. And after a time, his master's wife cast her eyes on Joseph and said, "Lie with me." But he refused, and he said to his master's wife, "Behold, because of me, my master has no concern about anything in the house, and he has put everything that he has in my charge. He is not greater in my He is not greater in this house than I am, nor has he kept back anything from me except you, because you are his wife. Now notice this last verse. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? Sin is always against God. And it's our outward actions. This is brought forth in Romans 2:6, and we'll look at that verse even more later. But first I'd like to go with me over to James. And look at what James says about sin. James says, but each person is tempted when he is lured and enticed by his own desire. Then desire, when it is conceived, gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is fully grown, brings forth death. And I want you to notice what James says about sin. Sin is not being tempted. We're all tempted at times. Sin is not even when you're tempted and lured into something. And you're enticed and you really want it. That's still not sin. But then desire, when it conceives, gives birth to sin. When we act upon it, then we open the door to sin. And sin, when it's fully grown, brings death. The wages of sin is death. Romans 6:23. But notice, sin is just not a quick thing that you do. You're tempted, you're lured, and then you sin. It's a process. It's choosing to walk a certain way. That's what sin brings sin to us. Thus we see in these verses, sin is not trivial. It's not that trivial little thought we have. And when we start making sin trivial, we lie ourselves open not only to not understanding sin, but then we open the door in our lives for to lack the self-control that we need. Look with me now at the next couple verses in Romans. Look back at Romans 8 and pick them back up at verse 10. But if Christ is in you, although the body is dead because of sin, the Spirit is life because of righteousness. If the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through the Spirit who dwells in you. Now what does he mean by the body is dead because of sin? We talked a little bit a week or two back about being dead to sin in our lives. But I want you to notice what Paul already said in Romans chapter 6. And notice how closely these two chapters parallel each other. In Romans chapter 6, beginning of verse 1, Paul wrote, what shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin that grace may abound? Now that's what we sort of started with this morning. Is it okay to sin since everything's been forgiven? Christ paid the price. Is it okay to live any way I want to live? Look what Paul says. He says, by no means. How can we who died to sin still live in it? Same phrase, died to sin. Well, how did we die to sin? Well, listen what Paul says. But you do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. When we're baptized, we die, just as Christ died. But we also arise, just as Christ arose, by the same Spirit. McGuigan, in his book about Romans, puts this verse this way. If the Spirit is in you, while your body has been committed to death because of sin, the Spirit is the source of life because you have been made right, or you're righteous, or made right with God. We have life in our mortal bodies. The resurrection is physical and spiritual. We will be like Jesus in the resurrection. And we'll see that more next week. This, I'd like to look at just a little bit more. What does it mean to be dead to sin? How can we, who are sinful, have these desires that we have, are tempted, how can we truly be dead to sin? Well, look with me at just a few verses. One is in Matthew chapter 5. Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount says, you've been told before not to murder. One of the Ten Commandments, do not murder. But I say you need not be angry, or you're liable to be judgment. Jesus says, you know not to murder, but take a step back. What leads you to that murder? Anger. Our emotions. What leads us to sin is so often our emotions and our lack of control to those emotions. We need to learn to control our anger. And we can. A couple of weeks ago on Wednesday night class, we looked at a number of the Proverbs about just that. How do we control our anger? And the importance of controlling not just our anger, but all of our emotions. So often it's our emotions that if we let them run wild on us, we lack the self-control to hold them in, they lead us to sin. In Romans 2, verse 6, we alluded to earlier, Paul says these words, he will render to each one according to his works. In other words, you will be judged not according to your temptations or even those passing thoughts you had, but what you acted upon, your behavior, what you did. He, that is the Lord, will render to each one according to his works. To those who by patience and well-doing seek glory and honor and immortality, he will give eternal life. But for those who are self-seeking and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, there will be wrath and fury. Sin is basically selfishness. It's choosing self over God. That's what this verse basically says. If you choose to walk after the Spirit, to walk after Christ, if you seek that way of life, he will give you eternal life. But for those who are self-seeking, selfish, those who just seek to please themselves, that choose self over God, there be wrath and fury. We struggle with sin and temptation, but the Spirit lives within us, and with the Spirit, we can truly live the type of life that we're called to walk. Now look at with me at the last couple of verses in this section of Romans. Romans, beginning verse 12 through 13. So then, brothers, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if you live by the Spirit, you will put death the deeds of the body, you will live. Now, some translations, we are debtors. Some said we have an obligation. Didn't Jesus pay the price of our sins? If Jesus paid the price, how can we still be in debt? Do we have to make up a little bit left over? No. Jesus paid all the price for our sins. There's nothing left over. Then how does Paul say that we're still debtors? Paul is saying, God has done this for you. He gave you his Son. He paid the price for your sins. You have an obligation now to live for him. How can you, if you've died to sin, if you were buried with Christ, and just as Christ was crucified and buried, you too were buried with them. How can you now turn around and walk after sin? You have an obligation, a responsibility. You're in debt to Christ to walk after him. And notice what this verse says. You can live or you can die. If you live according to the flesh, if you live according to the world, if you walk that easy path, as Jesus called it, the path that leads to destruction, you will die. But if you live after the Spirit, if you have a mindset after Christ, and if you look back a few verses in Romans, Paul talks about having the right mindset, a mindset towards the Spirit of God. If you have that mindset, you will live. Live or die, your choice tonight. You live after this world, you will die. You live after Christ, after the Spirit, you will live. We're free from sin, but we're not free just to walk any way we want to. We're free to truly walk that highway of holiness that we looked at 2 weeks ago. And it really comes down to, do we believe that true life is in Christ? We're saved by our faith. Our faith that living for Jesus brings us to eternal life, brings us to true life. Do we believe that? If we believe it, we're going to walk it. We're going to live it. If we don't believe it, we're going to take the easy way out for the world. Three things, the lesson's yours this morning. We need not to make sin trivial. Sin is not trivial. It's why Christ went to the cross. And so often we want to make some of the little trivial things we do to be sin. Sin is breaking God's law. It's choosing self over God. The second idea is we can have self-control, discipline in our lives. We need to have a mindset towards the Spirit. Sin in general is heading in the wrong direction. We need to have our minds focused in the right direction. Life is only in Christ. True life comes from the peace and the grace that come from God. And how do we know that we have it? When we start setting our mind on the Spirit and walking the way that we need to live. Our sins are forgiven, but that doesn't mean that we can just live any way we want to live. Paul says, if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if you live by the Spirit and put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. It's your choice, live or die. This morning, think about your life. Have you put Christ on in baptism? Have you died to sin in baptism, just as Christ arose you to arise to a new life, a life eternal? If you started that walk but haven't been faithful to it, why not come back to your Lord? As together we stand and sing.